This is an NC Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org. Welcome to the NC Baptist Podcast, the podcast designed to engage with ministry leaders around topics that will explore approaches and resources to help us be on mission together. It's because of your generosity that this resource is available. Learn more at ncbaptist.org/give or contact us at communications@ncbaptist.org. Welcome to the NC Baptist Podcast. Guys, I could not be more excited today. Faith, football, living scent. Someone referred to this as like the best of Todd Unzicker topics. If we just added fishing in here, I think we would cover pretty much everything I like to talk about. We are covering it all, though, today on today's episode of the NC Baptist Podcast with today's guest. So I thank you for tuning in. I am Todd Unzicker, the executive director of NC Baptist, and joining me today via Zoom is my good friend, Mark Richt, the former head coach for the University of Georgia and the University of Miami, and congratulations, Coach, Hall of Famer. Welcome to the podcast, Coach.
Hall of Fame, it's amazing. I don't know how I got in, but when we got the football in the mail, Catherine and I, my wife, we just kind of embraced and started crying for a little while and then started laughing. And if I could dance, we would have danced too. It was pretty cool.
Man, Hall of Fame, what an accomplishment. So very few and well-deserved. You know, you were the winningest coach at Georgia when you left there. And certainly a program like that, that is Hall of Fame worthy. I got to just say, I wish that the four team had existed during those years at Georgia. Think of how many, you know?
Yeah, we'd at least been in the race to the very end, yeah, that's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So cards on the table. Coach Richt has been a friend and a mentor and a brother with me for almost, over two decades now. And Coach, I think this is the first time in 19 years that here I am interviewing you again, huh? Do you like me more interviewing now or back then?
I'll let you know when the podcast is over.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. Well, Coach, talk a little bit about college football. I know you've been doing work with the ACC Network. You know, you're certainly really involved. What's kind of your, couple minute take on college football? What are you liking that you see in college football and what concerns you?
Well, I think what I like is it's still the greatest team sport ever invented. It brings people together from all different walks of life, all different athletic skill sets. It's very versatile in that way. I mean, you got running backs look a certain way, receivers, DBs, and you got linebackers look a little bit different. Tight ends kind of fit that mold. Then all of a sudden you get these giant linemen on both sides of the ball. And then the game's usually decided by a little 150-pound kicker, you know? And so it kind of, everybody needs each other. So different skill sets, different colors of skin, different beliefs, but everybody comes together for the purpose of trying to win a game. And I think that's awesome. The other thing about college ball in particular, and why I was, attracted to it for a life's work, was the transition from boyhood to manhood. That age group from, 18 to 22 is such a crucial part in young men's lives to, start out in the boyhood stage, so to speak, and but try to leave in the manhood stage and ready for life. So that was a big part of the fun too.
I don't think I've ever asked you this. Is that what kind of kept you really locked in on college? Was that primary reason, or did you have opportunities to go to the NFL, or is that something that just never you felt led to?
Well, I did have some shots to coach in the NFL, and I did really think I was a good fit for that. You know, part of it was probably the fear of not being good enough schematically to do it in the NFL. If I had been like an analyst or something in the NFL, kind of grew up in the NFL, I probably had more comfort level. But, I know that league's about, trying to help guys extend their careers and have, success to win Super Bowls. But, college ball just seemed to fit my personality better. And it was something that I was more passionate about doing.
What concerns you in college football right now?
I think one of the things, with the transfer portal and the ability to transfer at a moment's notice concerns me a little bit, because to go from boyhood to manhood sometimes you got to be disciplined. You know, sometimes you got to learn a lesson, and you got to go through adversity. And nowadays they don't tend to go through adversity much. When adversity comes, they run to the next school. And I shouldn't put it necessarily that they run to it, but they have the option to do that. And a lot of times that's what they decide to do. Where in the past, you know, you might have had to battle through a tough time and come out better on the other end, a more mature guy. And so I think they're missing the opportunity for growth as people. And the other thing too is the job of creating a true team atmosphere is tougher and tougher because everybody's concerned about their own personal brand with all the NIL money and all that, and who's getting this, and is he getting more than me, and, you know, I can get more at this school. I mean, I've got a couple, you know, good friends still in the coaching business, and, you know, the first day the portal opens, they'll have anywhere between 25 and 35 guys come to their office looking for a better NIL deal, you know, and it's crazy. So now you're recruiting high school kids like always, and you're recruiting some junior high guys, but now you're recruiting guys in the portal. And truthfully, you're recruiting the guys already on your team right. that you're trying to keep from leaving. So it's kind of a mess in that way. But one thing about the change, if you want to call it a positive, is a new coach can come in, flip his roster with, you know, by 30, 40, 50 kids, and maybe get to where he wants to be a little bit faster than it used to take back in the day. So that could be a positive, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we're North Carolina Baptist, and so we've got a lot of ACC blue bloods here that would be listening regularly to this. What storylines? I know you've known the ACC as much as your career as you have the SEC. What storylines are you looking at the ACC with college football coming up in 2024? What's intriguing to you?
Well, first of all, is the expansion. You know, why did the league expand? People were asking, why would you do that? Well, I think part of it is, you know, a preemptive strike against other teams leaving your conference. And of course, watching what happened to the Pac-10 or 12 or whatever it used to be, how it got disintegrated in a matter of a couple months. I don't think anybody wanted that to happen to their league. So if you get there is such a thing as strength in numbers. And if you add to your numbers, and then if you do lose a little bit with the attrition of people either not being happy or getting wooed to go somewhere else, you know, you're stabilizing your league by doing that. So that's a big deal. But as far as a competitive situation, I have a personal, dog in the fight, two dogs in the fight, actually. My nephew's Max Johnson, the quarterback, who was at LSU and Texas A&M. My sister Nikki and her husband Brad Johnson's son is quarterback in North Carolina now. And then his brother Jake is going to be a tight end there too. So All-American high school tight end joining the team. So you got 2'6", 220 to 245 pound studs, you know, showing up on campus and trying to get the Tar Heels where they want to go.
Yeah, that's great for the Tar Heels. And certainly we've got a ton of Tar Heels listening in on this. And just for a moment, but is there any finer helmet in college sports than the SMU Ponies? I mean, is that helmet just awesome looking? I can't wait to see that. We talked about you spent a lot of time in the ACC. Certainly you spent, 15 years at Florida State, and that's where you became a follower of Jesus. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about how that happened?
Yeah, well, you know, in high school, I'll back up a little bit further. When I was 13, my mom and dad divorced. And so we kind of quit going to church. There wasn't much church going on. So, you know, the thing that I kind of put my hopes and faith and identity in was sports and football in particular, and playing quarterback in particular. So I did turn out to be first team All-State in high school and thought a lot of myself and had a game plan to, you know, start as a freshman and win the Heisman and go pro and all that stuff after 3 years. But the problem with my game plan is Jim Kelly, my teammate, was living my life for me. And so that wasn't fun. And then so when my identity in football went in the tank, my life kind of went in the tank and did a bunch of stupid junk that we don't need to get into. But long story short, I was as far away from God as you could probably get. And I had a roommate in college who was kind of going down the same path until one summer after going home for a couple of weeks, he came back a changed guy. He came back from a guy who was looking for a fight, looking for, you know, a girl, looking for a drink, to this guy who had a different perspective on life. He had a piece about him that I just didn't get. And so I was like, what happened to you? He said, well, I came to know Christ. And I said, I listened to what he had to say, and I considered becoming a believer. I was thinking maybe that was for me, but I started worrying about what my other roommates would think, started worrying about what my girlfriend would think. So I was more worried about what man thought than what God thought. And then I was also a little bit concerned about, I was thinking, if I become a Christian, I got to be perfect. So let's look at these sins. Can I quit doing these things? And most of them, I felt like I could stop. There's a couple of them, like, I'm not stopping this anytime soon. And the third thing was doing what you did, is, and that's going on a mission trip and never come back, so to speak. So I was like, man, I may end up going on a mission trip to Africa and never come back.
I could turn out like Todd Unzicker.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I kind of postponed that thing until 86, my second year as a graduate assistant coach at Florida State. There was an on-campus party. Coach Bowen was the head coach. He told the players they could go home for the weekend if they want. Some stayed in town. A bunch of guys that stayed in town went to an on-campus party. Somebody pulls the fire alarm. Car goes through the lot, almost hits a player. Player doesn't like it. Friends to whip this guy's tail in front of his buddies. The guy gets his feelings hurt, gets a gun, brings it back to the party. Out comes Pablo Lopez to see if he's messing with his car. The guy pulls the gun. Pablo says, you're not going to shoot me, bro. And the guy shoots him. And Pablo died that night. And so the next day, Coach Bowen had the team meeting that was scheduled anyway on Sunday for everybody to get back in town. And he basically, you know, I mean, the whole room was deathly quiet, you could imagine. And Coach Bowen just began to speak to the team and said, man, I don't know where Pablo is right now. I don't know where he'll spend eternity, because I don't know where he was in his faith. And he said, but I do know there's a God who loves you, who created you, and wants a relationship with you, and wants you to live for all of eternity with him in heaven. But the standard for heaven's perfection. And when Adam sinned, sin entered all of us. So we can't be perfect. But the good news is God knew that too and gave us Jesus, and who forgave all of our sin, past, present, and future. So he preaches the gospel to the team, and he looks at Pablo's empty seat, and he said, man, Pablo used to sit in that seat right there, and now he's gone. He said, you guys are 18 to 22 years old. You think you're going to live forever? Pablo thought he was going to live forever. Now he's gone. He said, if that was you last night instead of Pablo, do you know you'd spend eternity? Well, he was talking to the team, but I'm in the back of the room after taking roll, and the Holy Spirit started speaking to me through Coach Bowden. And I'm like, man, if I died last night, I know where I'd go. It's not a good place. And some of those seeds that were planted back in college by my roommate came to fruition that moment. And I said, Coach Bowden offered any of the players to come see him to talk about it. The next day I went to go see him and knocked on his door. And of course he's like, come on in, buddy. Calls you buddy when he forgets your name. But anyway, I said, Coach, I know you're talking to the team, but I need Jesus. And so I prayed to receive Christ right there in his office, and my spirit and soul became right with God. And my behavior's lagging behind a little bit, but one day when I get this glorified body with no sin and no disease, it'll be awesome.
Yeah, man, that never gets old. And just as a side for our listeners, Coach Rick, on December 26, 2000, when you were hired at Georgia and at your press conference, you shared about being a follower of Jesus, and you talked about being a follower of Jesus cares for widows and orphans. And Coach, I'd never heard Christians talk like that. You know, I've been around athletes. I was an athlete. I was a sports reporter. I've been around athletes, been in locker rooms. I don't think I'd ever met a player or a coach who didn't thank God for the win.
Right.
But they lived their life exactly the same way I did. It was no different.
Right.
Talk about how your faith in Jesus and being a follower of his, how that actually shaped you coaching, like living sent.
Yes. Well, after I left Coach Bowen's office that day, I had a new goal in life, and the new goal was very simple. And that's try to live a life that God would be pleased with, period. Very simple goal, not an easy goal necessarily. So when it came to any decision I made in life, including whether or not I'd continue to coach or not, I was like, God, I'll do whatever you ask of me. And, you know, I just kind of laid it out there and said, you know, you saved me and I'm just so thankful. And if you want me to coach, I'll coach. If you want me to do something else, I'll do. And what I learned through a little bit of study of the New Testament, you know, Colossians 3:23 says, you know, whatever you do, do your work heartily under the Lord rather than men. And so I think a lot of us are really concerned about what's God want me to do? What's God want me to do? And I know I was that same way at that time early on, but then I realized that God doesn't care so much what you do, but how you do it and who you do it for. And if you do it with the best you can and you do it unto the Lord rather than men, that's what he wants the most.
Man, that's great. Well, you, Coach Rick, are one of the keynote speakers at this year's North Carolina Baptist on Mission Conference, the theme this year being Living Sent. And, you know, for our listeners, what would you tell them, Coach, a teaser, because you're going to talk more to them when you're up here at the Tar Heel State soon. But what does it look like to live sent regardless of your career?
Well, it ties in a little bit with the verse I just mentioned. I think sometimes we think we have to actually go on mission, physically go to another country or physically go to an impoverished area to do mission work. But that's really not the truth of the matter. That's very important. Those things are you know, hugely important. As God in the great, you know, Jesus in the Great Commission says, you know, go throughout the world and spread the gospel, basically. But you can spread the gospel in your cubicle. You can spread the gospel in your group of friends. You can spread the gospel wherever you work, you know. So I think we just have to have that as a mission, so to speak, to share the word and not just grab people and start talking about Jesus. But, you know, once you become friends with people or once you do something nice for someone, or if you meet physical needs, that's the beauty of mission work, is a lot of times the mission work starts with the physical meeting of a need.
Yep.
Whether it's, you know, healthcare or food or shelter or whatever it may be. Safety, you know, so all of a sudden it's like, well, why would you do this? Why would you help me? You know, and then you could tell them why, you know, because of the love of Jesus in my heart and the fact that, you know, Jesus loves you and I want you to know that. I want you to come to know him as your savior. So, you know, you kind of earn the right to a certain degree to preach the gospel. And it's not so much preaching, you just tell them about your relationship with God. It's really pretty simple.
They won't care what we know until they know we care is the way Grandma used to say it. And you're going to get a lot more of that at the North Carolina Baptist on Missions Conference. You're going to hear all about ways you can declare not only the hope that's found in Christ, which is exactly what Coach Bowden did with you, Coach Rick, but we're also how you can demonstrate the gospel. And whether that is drilling a well or caring for the poor, widows and orphans, you're going to get all of that at the NC Baptist on Mission Conference Living Sent with Coach Rick. Coach, on behalf of NC Baptist, thank you so much for joining me today. It was fun to reminisce a little bit on some different topics than we did 20 years ago.
It was good. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. You can learn more about Baptist on Mission's upcoming Missions Conference April 5th through the 6th at baptistonmission.org. And if your church hasn't already signed up for Serve NC, you can do that at servenc.com. It's a great opportunity to live sent in your community. NC Baptist, you can listen to more NC Baptist podcasts just like this one at ncbaptist.org/podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. Thank you for joining us today. Because of your generosity to NC Baptist, this podcast, along with other helpful resources, are made available for you. Learn more by visiting ncbaptist.org/give.